Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. This is our January 18th reviews issue. Today we are going to be talking about Middle West 2 and 3, but first we have...
Alright, I guess I'm taking this, apparently, by force. Batman number 62, written by Tom King, and Mitch Garrett is our artist, and he did the cover art, at least for the regular cover.
For the main, yep.
So,
nice. Famous creative team, you know, for doing...
Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Miracle.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said it weird.
One of our
I always say it Mr. Miracle, so it's fine.
One of our personal favorites here at Capes and Scales West. Nat threw this book in my box just because it was the two of them, essentially.
Yep.
And he was correct for doing so.
Cat, what were your thoughts?
Well, for starters, I didn't really think through that it was those two. But now that I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, you have, he likes his threes, I will say that, because you've got, this one's a three-panel layout instead of nine, and then he's got, like, when he does... Yeah, it's still really pretty and all horrifying all at the same time.
Yeah, actually,
I always forget that how creepy Pig is.
Yeah, Professor Pig is a really screwed up looking character.
I did notice that how most of this most of the book is actually in three panel pages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm flipping through it now, except for a couple splash pages. It's essentially all three panels.
Yeah, it's
very cinematic.
I think if he does splash pages, we'll just be like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded term for this
right.
book.
Oh, yeah.
Touche. I'll give you that one.
Touchy.
Yeah, considering mm-hmm. that it takes place entirely in a butcher.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, God.
Batman's hanging there next to pigs in various stages of being slaughtered.
What does he take out of his mouth?
So Professor Pig is actually like old school hero. I'm not familiar with this character.
I don't know if he's old
at all.
School, but the only
Professor
reason
Professor Pig was created by Grant Morrison in the run where Dick Grayson becomes Batman. He's actually a very new villain.
Oh, new villain.
Well, the
okay,
only reason
yeah.
I know about him is he popped up in Arkham Knight, and that's how I knew about him. And he's creepy as shit.
He is creepy. Yeah, he makes pig dolls, essentially, from people by
he
putting
makes
masks
them,
on them.
He makes them perfect, and they can't feel pain, and it's creepy.
It's super creepy.
Oh, well, I'm really glad now that they didn't give us his internal monologue.
His dialogue.
His monologues.
He speaks as somebody who is not good with social cues. Like, he's definitely speaks in, like, riddles or not full sentences. Professor Pig is not
he also talks
people.
About himself in the third person
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, he's definitely something else is going on there.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
What does he pull out of his mouth here? I could not figure out what that is.
I don't know, actually.
Oh, I didn't even... Oh, yeah. What is that?
Mitch Garrett's art is pretty surreal at times, so it's like, what's going on?
Pretty surreal at times.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this entire area is coated in blood, and the only reason I can be all somewhat alright with that is because it's just the blending, and then I don't think about it.
It
can be super surreal.
I'm a little confused about what we're actually seeing too, because of the final reveal that Damian is underneath the mask.
Well, but you can see how it's physically impossible because, like, from panel to panel, when he takes off the mask, Pig is physically bigger than Damian, who is standing there holding the pig mask.
Right.
In full Robin, and he, like, and it literally, from moment to moment, changes into Damian in full Robin regalia versus Professor Pig, who's
but
in a full butcher.
There's also a moment where Pig catches two batarangs, and
that's
Damian could do that.
Yes.
I don't think Pig would be able to do that.
Pig can't do that.
Yes.
That dude's
so
too,
that's like what is what
he,
I, yeah.
he may be a surgeon in his mind, but does not have a steady hand.
Right. So there's a lot of misdirection. This is the first time too in a while that I've actually been okay with the tights. Because Mitch Garrett's, I don't know, like the energy in all of the panels make it feel like it works
well.
Because
and then like I loved the way like it ended too, because this is so Tom King-esque, and he says, you know, evaluate, reassess, a metaphor, a myth, a story, a dream, like I don't know. What is this?
It's funny because this is part two of a story. I think you could just read this as sort of a one-off and sort of be like, what's going on?
I can't remember what happened in 61, but I know that this does not attach.
I think he gets knocked out in 61.
Is this the first
something one? Something related to Bane.
Mm-hmm. Is this the first one with Garrod's then? He didn't do part one?
He did not do part one.
Okay, I was about to say, if he did part one of this, I really need to pick that one up.
I think there was actually two different artists on the last issue, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, this whole page right here where he just rambles on. Doesn't ramble, it's very short and terse sentences, but you get the point.
Yeah. Also, great inner monologuing. It felt like Grant Morrison was on Batman again, where it's just like, you're not getting a lot of dialogue, it's just what's inside of his head and what he's thinking.
Not getting a lot of dialogue is a little bit of an understatement, because out of this entire book, there are literally two pages of dialogue. and also, that's not... There's not a lot. There's probably... I can count it right here. There's like six sentences in total. Seven, maybe. In this whole book that are spoken aloud.
It's crazy. Yeah,
did he cut his tongue? Like, this is the one that I'm stuck on.
It's like, what happens there? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the whole book is meant to feel like a dream or not.
Or a myth.
Or a myth.
Or a metaphor.
A nightmare?
Yeah. And definitely the implications about whether or not Bane is in control of whatever this organization is that is going after Batman. There's a lot. There's a lot in a single book that, this was
one of those ones where it was just like trying to unpack, and I'm like, I can't unpack anymore. My head hurts.
Once again, I don't know why you're picking up a Tom King book without your expecting your head to hurt.
The last couple haven't made my head hurt this bad.
That's fair.
Yeah, we're
moving
towards the finale. I mean, it's 40 issues, but still. Maybe we're still moving.
He's walking towards that direction. He's kind of like yanking.
Right.
I feel like with Garrod's on the art, he's like extra trying to impress him too. He's like, ooh, here, Mitch Garrod, look how awesome this script is. Isn't it great? He's like, yeah, it's cool. I'll draw some cool stuff for it.
Yay! It's awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Well, I guess if neither of you have any other things to say.
No, it'll be 63. That'll be very telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely see how this one goes. But let's move on here into Middle West. This is Middle West 2 and 3. We're going to do kind of a joint review here. Written by Scotty Young with art by Jorge Corona. So, I absolutely love this. I was reading it last night and I realized something, that it's called Middle West and it reads like a fantasy epic, and there's another great fantasy epic out there that takes place in Middle Earth, so I don't know if they're technically connected, but knowing Scotty Young...
The way I've looked at everything is the fact that it's got fairy tales are real in this world, because what is it, issue 2, we run into a troll, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, issue 3.
Issue 3? Okay. Yeah. But yeah, when we're there, I'm like, fairy tales are real, and it seems like having familiars in this world is the norm, too, because the wizard has one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't... The wizard has a familiar?
Like, yeah, he has a crow.
Oh, that's right. Raven, that's right. Okay.
Well, what about, like, the cat? I know you were talking about, like, the mark he has on his chest.
Yeah, so you can see, like, where his dad touched him, and you see it in the first issue, if I'm not mistaken. Is his dad, like, pokes him, which is weird.
Yeah, while he's, like, the giant tornado monster.
And now Abel has a weird mark on his chest that's kind of, it looks like a heart, and it flows in a circle.
And it causes him weird pain. When he gets angry, it gets worse, and it's as if he's sick with the mark.
Well, I think he refers to it as an infection, too.
The wizard refers to it as an infection.
If it's, like, not a metaphor, if I've ever seen one either.
Right. And that's, like, it's...
Basically, it's about abuse of a young boy. The father does it to the son. The son doesn't know anything better. Yeah. He's scarred, and instead of not getting the help that maybe he necessarily needs, he turns into his dad.
Wow, yeah. And that's interesting, because his dad has similar marks, but his are, like... they're blue instead of being like bright, and then, so that could be like metaphorical because usually abusive parents were themselves abused. Mm-hmm. So if he has the mark, that means he could have been touched by his father. Interestingly enough.
The cycle of abuse. I actually took it that he had that because he started to be physically abusive.
No, I'm thinking it's kind of
like the darkness in his heart grew and it started to make a mark on him.
I mean, I don't know. The other part of me is it sounds like it's the cycle of abuse.
Yeah, that, well, that's initially what I thought, but now that we're talking about it,
his mother left. You know, like so. There's maybe implications that the abuse didn't start against Abel, but maybe the abuse started.
I was a little confused by the ending of this.
Of all both issues, I want to talk a little bit about issue two before we jump too much into issue three.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
I want to talk like just visual design and all of the different creatures and characters that we incidentally meet. It's gorgeous. There's I use this term. It's Miyazaki-esque. You know, it reminds me of Avatar: The Last Airbender in terms of like. The creatures being sort of like hybrid things from other worlds. The parallel of the owl stealing the mouse and then the owl man going after the little mouse and referring to him as little mouse, you know, and, as Abel. So there's this parallel at the beginning and then the main story in the issue that we get finally introduced to the wizard, who is like just super cool. This old guy with the lamppost lantern, and that's also a weapon. I love the magical realism. There's not a lot of answers. It just sort of exists, you know, like it's just there.
If this character was in a different book, you would know that he was just a hobo.
Yeah.
But since he's in this book, you know that he's just a wizard.
Yep. He's been around. He's got potions and, you know, skulls and different things in his house and just collections of all of the magical artifacts. And then, like, street signs and
but it looks like a junkyard.
Yeah,
like his house in quotes looks like it's just a collection of stuff, and it looks like a junkyard. And you'd be like, "Oh, this guy's a hobo."
Yeah.
Like the main room is like a bus.
And talk about intelligent storytelling, because he's talking to his familiar about how to get Abel to the Magdalena, and slyly they just leave the poster and leave the room because they want to make sure that she doesn't realize that the wizard is sending them there. So Abel just picks it up and goes, "Ooh, maybe this is what we can do." And the fox certainly, you know, feeds into that. So they just go. And I like that. Like, that's just really great.
We need to point
simple
out sarcastic that little fox is too. Like,
fox is such a great
character. They're dicks to each other too. And like the third issue especially, they start like really being like, "No, you can't have this."
I like how he constantly refers to it as a quest too. Mm-hmm. Like, and the fox is just like, I'm not questing.
Yeah.
He's like, "No, he's like, then why are you walking with me? Because I'm walking. It's not a quest."
Yeah. Also, like, there's extras at the back of every issue, so you get to see some of the design concepts and what, you know, the development of these characters and this world, and it's just lovely. Like, this is such a well put together package and such a, like, an industry love letter. Like, this is really, like, what, you know, what you can do with comics and how you can let the audience in on how they get made.
Yeah, you said it with issue number one, Nat, and I keep thinking it with every single issue, but this is Scotty Young coming into his own as a writer.
Yeah.
Like, it's so in-depth and well thought out and well done and fun and metaphorical and, like...
dark, but also light and, like, bright and colorful.
Yeah, it's just, like... yeah, it's just everything. This is his.
I'm gonna butcher the name, but Jean-François Bellu, the colorist, has to be talked about as well because he's been working with Scotty Young for a long time, and they are doing a great job on Jorge Corona's inks, doing like beautiful colors over the top and lending to this sort of like fantasy magical realism realm that we're in.
Yeah.
I will say this with the dad's mark, and if you compare it to Abel's, they look significantly different because his dad's mark is like the heart split in two, and one part is the circular part, and then the other one I don't think drifts off into anything.
Oh.
Yeah, the other half doesn't drift anywhere.
Hmm.
Oh, like his heart has started to split.
And then if you look at Abel's, his is splitting.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, like, it's got, like, a little hole.
Oh, yeah. So, the more bad things that happened. So when we jump into issue number 3, we're looking at sort of a, like, meanwhile back at the ranch.
Yeah.
And we go in to see the aftermath of Abel's dad as the tornado monster.
Which, by the way, like, just he the knows. Rendering of, like, the wreckage post-tornado, that's, like, so real. Like, it looks like a natural disaster.
What he is, too. Because he even says, he's like, the storm was something we haven't seen before. Like, it was, and he's, like, angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's semi-aware of what he turns into, or fully aware of that.
Yeah, Jorge Corona, by the way, like, quick shout out just to, like, perspective, too, because there's that scene where it's like fisheye lens, and it looks like the path of the storm, and it's, like going around. I don't know. It's just an incredibly well-rendered scene in general.
Yeah, the like, foreground, background, like, everything has perspective. The objects are laid on top of each other. That had to be a pain in the butt. To draw.
Oh yeah. And it's not even a full splash page either.
He's got story panels above it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the four panelings too is one panel just with the dad's legs drawn individually. It's just great, like scenery.
Yeah, this is as heavy as the material is, this is actually pretty new reader friendly, like somebody who's not even into comics. Everything's easy to follow. Like, it just works.
Yeah. So I was trying to figure out where this world is and what is real in this world and what is make-believe.
And that's the joy of the story is, like, I think it's all real. I think in this world this just happens to be the status quo.
This is what magic is.
Yeah. I also want to know why his is blue, too.
Yeah.
I think it's blue. All right. My theory is it's blue because it's now, like, it's scarified, it's permanent on him.
Yeah.
And it probably glows or does something when he gets angry and activates, because he had a shirt on before turning into the tornado monster, so...
Yeah.
And we know Abel's glows when he gets angry.
And it actually does a similar effect. It has wind.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was blue because it had, like, atrophied almost. Like, Abel's is bright and colorful, but his is...
This one has broken
in two, and it's, like, dulled.
Trolls,
but that's what's so great about it too, is like just this like one thing is like here we are talking about the metaphors behind like the symbol.
The troll, like, great design, and then it's like actually a classic troll that turns to stone in the sun.
Well,
you know, like,
that was when I figured out that fairy tales are real in this world, because I was looking at some of it too. The person that he's gonna go see, it's a fortune teller.
Yeah. Well, because this is a fantasy epic.
Yeah,
this is essentially.
I don't think we're in like Wizard of Oz type story. I think this is just the world. The world is magic, like Spirited Away when you just walk around.
Still
or
don't know what that
Princess
pink
Mononoke.
Stuff is.
It has to be like mana, like magical energy, because it's part of all of the technology and...
Yeah, I assume that it's some sort of, a combination between, like, electricity and then mana, like, because it fuels, like, you see it on all the houses and all the machines, and so essentially, like...
Like, it's power of some kind, like, it's some sort of an energy source, and... I'm almost to the point we're not going to get that revelation. Like, it's just part of the world, and you infer out of it what you think, because it's everywhere. I mean, it's even in the Hearst family, like, that splash page at the end where he's getting to where the Magdalena is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was on the train, too. Like, the train was, like, transporting it.
Right. And then the preview of the cover for the next issue has the robot that seems to be powered by this. Like, it's in the robot's heart and then on its back. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like...
I saw that, and I was like, yes, we're going to get the team, too, coming together. Yeah. I thought it was just going to be, like, a solo sort of, you know...
it could be
epic,
a one-off.
But,
you know,
but,
like, where...
Oh, yeah, that is true, too.
Where they divide and they separate.
Yeah, maybe. I like the teams, though, because then it's even more like Lord of the Rings. You know, you get like the nine companions or whatever. Probably not nine.
I'm good with Abel and the fox just kind of roaming around together and running into things incidentally. I'm good with that.
That is fair.
I will give the trolls some props. That mofo had a freaking had his backup plan. Run into the sun.
Just drops the blinds. It's like. Well, that was smart.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah, it definitely plays on, like, fantasy mythology. So great. This is...
Yeah. Yeah. But then it's, like, but that's, like, such a great, like, realism in it, too, is the fact that, like, the troll, it's a covered bridge, which, you know, anybody familiar with the Midwest knows that those things are out there, like, you know.
All the time.
Just everywhere. See, and all after over playing
Red Dead Redemption 2, I'm like, I don't like going through this. Yeah. I was getting robbed.
Middle West game, it would be the same way, right? Yeah,
exactly. Well, there is a troll in there, don't go in there. Yeah.
Well, you'd just be riddled to death, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I was happy I knew the riddle right away.
Too. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be awesome if in a Middle West video game, if you got the riddle wrong, you had to fight the trolls? Would you have, like, the opportunity to try to solve the riddles?
Yeah.
You
had to go through? It would be, like, Undertale style. Yeah. Super cool. Oh, man. Oh, cool. Yeah.
I don't know that we have anything else to say about Middle West. Just, like, this is a book you should be reading.
Yeah. We're just gushing over it over here. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it is. It's extreme. It's extremely new reader friendly. It's old reader friendly. Like. Yeah. Like, if you're interested at all in reading,
yeah, it pushes genre. It's fantastic art team behind everything too. It's
If you haven't gotten our drift yet, literally every aspect of this book is great. So.
Yeah, right. It's pretty much working and firing in all cylinders.
So. Yeah, if you say an aspect, like, you know, it's 5 out of 5. Yeah. All over.
I can help you. Here you go. Just read it.
Yeah. Just read it. Yeah. Cool.
He's like, right. Is this book good? And you just open up the first page and put it in their hands and walk away.
I want that back.
Anyway, cool. Well, with that, I guess let's all say goodbye then.
All right.
Bye.